Leave a few for the rest of us. Yeah.
I just want to let everyone know again that these meetings are being recorded, and the recording will go on the website. We will also upload the meeting notes as well and send them around to the applicant team. First, we're going to look at Claiborne, which is coming back after being approved for sketch and site for the new downtown Bethesda sector plan. And they're coming back because they are probably going to assemble additional properties, and they wanted to get a feel for the direction that they were headed from the panel. And so this is before they've actually submitted a new sketch plan application. So what we'll do is, as typical, we'll have the short presentation, we'll have the discussion from the panel, and I think the panel can decide if you want to do a straw vote, but typically we don't do it if it's not at a sketch or site application.
So, should we do introduction first?
Go ahead.
So Heather Delphi, Linda Blocker.
I'm Neil Bradley with Novo Properties.
Brad Fox with Fuller.
Carl McQuay on deck.
Sam Kirkdall with SKNI.
Anthony Pizzo, SKNI.
Marius Radulescu with SKNI.
Damon Orbona on the advisory panel.
George Dove, advisory panel.
Paul Mortensen, planning department, advisory panel.
Robert Kronberg, I'm with Area 1-2. I'm Bruno Carvello, I'm the landscape architect with CGLA.
So I think Laura gave good context, and I just wanted to give a little bit more, because this is an interesting project. So we, as Laura said, we went through the sketch plan, preliminary plan, and site plan process for, I guess, what I would call the current assemblage, which is just about three lots at the corner of Norfolk and Auburn in the Woodmont Triangle District. Our site plan was approved last July. So if you think about the timing of the sector plan and the fact that the county council approved the sector plan last May, we were basically under review for our sketch plan and site plan essentially completely concurrently with the Bethesda downtown sector plan. But because of the way the effective date provisions worked, we were under the previous Woodmont Triangle amendment. But I think, as Robert and probably Laura could say, during staff's review of our application, everybody knew already what the text of the sector plan said. So in essence, I think they were reviewing us for substantial conformance with the incoming sector plan, even though we weren't technically under it yet, which is why we didn't go to the DAP, because the DAP had not even been created at that time. So we received the site plan approval last July, and since that time, Neil with Novo Properties has picked up potentially a few additional parcels, potentially taking the building a little bit further south down the frontage of Norfolk. And what we wanted to do was come before you all today to get your view of our design. And we have not filed our amendments yet, but I think what you're probably gonna see in the presentation is a fairly detailed building, only because we have a prior approval for a site plan that was received last year. And I think we're kind of taking the existing design, the architects will use much prettier words than I would, but basically we had a fully baked design, and I think what we're trying to do is kind of extend it southward and incorporate the additional parcels, but I think you'll see a bit more detail than you would typically expect to see for a project that is not technically in for sketch and site plan amendments yet. So I think that was, and there was one other thing I wanted to say too. If the DAP meeting does go well, I think we are planning on filing our amendments likely in mid-September, so pretty quickly. We are looking for 10 points for exceptional design, which is what's required under the Bethesda overlay zone. So I guess we can see how the discussion goes, but to the extent that folks are happy today, I think we would ask for the DAP's blessing of the 10 points, or if folks want to see, you know, some more thought and another presentation, obviously that's something we can do too. So I will stop talking and just turn it over to our design team to present and have a discussion.
Good morning again. So this is the Claiborne, just a quick introduction to the site. Where you see the yellow patch, that's the location of the building. You see the location of the metro, so we are fairly close, half a mile. Is located on Auburn in Norfolk, and is in a cluster or close to a cluster of very tall buildings that are already built. Again, this is a blow up of the same area. You see the half a mile radius, so the metro will be this way. And that again is the site, what you see in light brown. A few images of the existing conditions. As I mean, this is the site you see in the middle upper image. And the building is bounded on, will be the northwest side by a very tall residential building. And then across the street on the other side on the northeast, again, is a tall building. And on the left is the image of what has been approved. And on the right is what we are trying to move forward with. So we wanted on this new proposal on the right hand side, sorry, is to continue what we started on the first phase, so to speak. So the architecture is basically a lower element that forms the base, and that is a connection to the ground as a retail presence around Auburn and Norfolk. And then on the top is the residential tower. It has a distinct feature and is set back from this residential, from this lower base. We wanted to have, in a way, because of the scale of the building, to have a unique presence and a very dynamic one, again, as a counterpoint to this large scale buildings that you see on the northwest. And you can see a little bit of the massing of the building on the background, either on the right-hand side or on the right-hand side. Again, you see these taller buildings. So therefore, we want to have a presence that is very articulated and create sort of a signature, more like a jewel, if you are in this surrounding. So with the phase, the second or the extension of the building, and we wanted to capture the same thing, but scale it down. So you have, in a way, a composition between four elements that intersect each other. So that is the new diagram, if you want. So again, it's a base in the top and the base in the top, and they all intersect. At the corner, we wanted to introduce or to retain this this vertical element or imply a tower without actually building a tower. And that element forms actually the hinge of the articulation between the higher portion and the lower one. So you can see it here. So that's the vertical element. And then we want to use that as an articulation between this this juxtaposition between these four elements. Floor plan on, so this is Norfolk and Auburn. You see the retail facing, most of it is facing Norfolk, but it turns the corner. And we have a lobby in between these two elements. So this is the main entrance, the lobby, the two retail components. And then as you turn on Auburn, you have the loading dock and the garage entrance. This is a typical floor plan that shows the setbacks from the base. So that this dashed line has the base. And then this is the portion of the white box that you see on top. This would be the intermediate level. So when the lower portion on the eastern side stops, and then the portion on the western side continues up for a few more floors. That's the floor plan. And this is an overall floor plan on the upper portion that we are locating amenities there, terrace, basically access to this terrace, and then green roof all the way around. And then, of course, we're going to locate a lot of mechanical stuff. Few images. So this is the intersection, the view here on the intersection of Norfolk and Auburn, and shows how the building on this extension retains what we originally designed. So we have this strong base form, and on top we have a very airy, loftier volume that is highly articulated, while maintaining a certain simplicity because of the color scheme. And again, that was done as a counterpoint to the taller buildings that you see on the left-hand side and in the background. We turn a little bit towards Norfolk. And again, is the building is gonna have a strong retail presence. And we, as we separate the two buildings on the top, we are doing the same thing on the base. So we want to change the material and the texture to differentiate between this four volume. Again, the tower element is distinct and it breaks, let's say, the perimeter on the base. And on this is the image from the southeast, looking towards Auburn Avenue. On the corner is still properties that are gonna stay in place, I suppose, for a while. They are only about 20 foot tall, or I'm not sure exact, but you know, they are not taller than what you see here, about 20 foot tall. This is an aerial view that shows how we anticipate the roof to work. As I mentioned, the corner of Auburn and Norfolk is gonna be a outdoor space. And then it's gonna be surrounded by green spaces, and it's also, you see green spaces terracing down on the northeast, on the lower element. A view from the opposite direction, again showing how the roofs will work and the amount of green space we have there. In terms of the pedestrian realm, as I mentioned, we want to this retail base to have a strong presence. We are emphasizing this with canopies that follow the retail. We want to have a certain transparency, but to retain the weight of the building and to carry these brick piers or masonry piers down. And as we move on the eastern half, we have the same geometry, but we are changing the color and the texture of the material. This is more detail, more rustication or finer detail because it has a smaller scale, but again, retain the same weight, the same more vernacular, if you want, presence. And this is a cross section looking west. It shows the base, the tower, and how the penthouse volume works. And the next few slides are gonna be diagrams explaining how the building works with the guideline. And on this one, we showing element of the shared street. And by the way, if you guys want to jump in. So with the yellow, you see the main volumes, how they sit back from each other in terms of height and the depth from the street face. We are showing how the pedestrian or the sidewalk works. We have a parking zone, there's a planting zone, and it's a fairly generous pedestrian zone that extends along Norfolk. Then on Auburn is a mixed use street. And again, there were the crucial part was that how do we relate to the building next door? And we are pulling the building back. You see how the base extends to the property line, but the building is pulled back to create this separation between this property and the one on the northeast. Again, the sidewalk has a 5-foot planting zone and is a 15-foot pedestrian zone. And then, again, we look at how, this is a diagram that explains how the guidelines were incorporated into the building. Uh, And here is a detail of the base. And the base is probably obviously it's gonna connect the building to the neighborhood, but it's the important, establishes that relation between the public and the building. And we highlighted the elements that we want to incorporate. We have, you know, a canopy, we have a, we want the fenestration and to allow for a lot of transparency so you experience the retail behind. We have the setbacks. Then we have, you know, the there's an entry. That's the main entry to the building.
Balconies, private balconies.
Balconies, yes, I didn't point it out. So we have these balconies that carry at the corner all the way up the building. Then we have, you see a yellow intermediate line between the lower portion and the upper portion, and that also has balconies, so it's a terrace, in fact. And the balconies of the articulation on the upper right-hand side. How the guideline, how we incorporate the guideline into the architecture, into the massing. And this is the corner element. So we, this, the, because of the how the neighborhood works, we didn't feel that this is a neighborhood that you really want to construct a tower and draw attention. Obviously, we want the building to have identity, but it's not a major intersection. It's not an intersection of two boulevard or a piazza that you want. But we wanted to have a sort of a tower and or a vertical element that define the building at the corner and addresses this condition, but it's done in a more subtle way. And how we did it, we separate the volumes or the elements of the building, create, if you want, a zipper or a gap in which we are inserted these horizontal blades that form actually the balconies. This diagram addresses the separation between the two buildings. Is the existing 175 foot tower and us. And these slides again illustrates how the building fits into the existing context. So on the upper left hand side, you see the Auburn in the Norfolk intersection. And then on the upper right hand side, you rotate towards Norfolk. And again, you see the 175 foot tower in the back. And you can see, you continue to see it if you go clockwise, how it relates to how a standard, if you want, zoning diagram, massing, will be inserted into the existing condition.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this one illustrates full compliance with
correct.
Right?
Correct.
So yeah,
right.
We know that the DAP wanted to see what a full compliance would look like, so that's what this diagram
is. So what would be the difference?
Difference is that we are breaking this mass in two, and because the lower is a lower site.
90 feet, you don't need to set back.
Right, because this is 90 foot, it's pulled out. So we are using that as a... is an articulation element. So that's the, if I go back to this, that would be
don't
the difference.
It.
It's just the look.
It's a very touchy screen.
Let me piggyback, summarize. I think the first time around, what was apparent was the base reading of the building was a very important element. The staff kind of emphasized that the buildings was designed to have two volumes sitting over top of each other. And this building sits on a very narrow site as well. It's 80 feet. It's kind of you're trying to create a new typology in a way, how to take a narrow site, kind of design this building. And obviously, this building is going to be a typology that is going to probably have to follow through on Norfolk Avenue. Norfolk Avenue is supposed to be lower height. And all the pieces that left, they are pretty narrow, you know. And, you know, Donahoe didn't assemble the site. They had a chance, obviously, they could have done a bigger move. And I think the challenge was the additional pieces have only 90 feet height. So the building, you know, we looked at a bunch of different scenarios how to merge these buildings. So the existing building we got approved was 110, the addition was 90. So kind of started the composition. How do we transition back the four-story base, five-story base to lower base? How do we kind of stitch these two buildings together? I think at the end of the day, the solution we are presenting is, I think it's very viable, and it's interesting that kind of makes a move towards steps down the building to the neighborhood and so forth.
There's a simple diagram that says maybe this is a way to compose building rather than just step down and have something that, you know, would look like it was missing, that address that by separating the volumes and intersecting them, so then it looks intentional rather than say, well, we couldn't do anything there, therefore we are stopping building there.
Yeah, I should have mentioned in the introductory remarks that we're split zoned when it comes to our height. So as Sami said, our existing assemblage is zoned at 110 feet maximum height, but the parcels that we are proposing to add are zoned for only a maximum of 90 feet in height. So we have kind of that trick too, as in addition to the fact that
it was not all 110, it would have been a lot easier.
Right, and I think the additional parcels too are actually narrower in depth.
It's
than
narrow,
the
yeah, you can
parcels,
see it.
So, yeah.
Yeah, from that to that. And actually this slide shows it. So you can see the overlap here. We use that again to overlap the structure. So they overlap in facade, they overlap in plan.
This is the only section you have, right? It's a little blue diagram.
That's a section from the guidelines?
Yeah, that's
a
guidance. Showing tower separation.
We don't see your building relative to the tall building, you know, to the
The Donahoe's building, you know.
Yeah, no, Donahoe's building would come back somewhere here and shoot up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the height of Donahoe?
I
would
like to see that.
You have this dimension.
What's the height of Donahoe?
Go back to the other side.
75.
You want to go back to
you had the dimension a couple minutes ago.
The opening slide.
Separation.
The separation.
Yeah, it's right there.
60 feet.
You have 60 feet.
Yeah, but I'd like to see the section of that elevation of yours relative to the elevation of the existing building. And what takes place within that 60 feet in terms of the low-rise buildings on that site, you know, below the.
Just to show the Donahoe and the retail.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that seems sort of fundamental, and you don't have an elevation of that particular part of your building. Yeah. Well, I understand that, but I want to see it in real time, and I want to see what's happening on the ground plane.
I think they have an elevated
plinth. Buildings.
The Donahoe building has an elevated plinth.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's retail. That's what that's sort of like.
Okay, yeah, go back.
We can.
Or the previous one.
Back, that one. Yeah, that doesn't. You know, that doesn't.
But we could pull up the street view or an aerial.
So the
that doesn't satisfy
the
me.
Is the orange or the pink.
That the kind of.
I mean, intention is this: they have a plinth, okay, one-story plinth, Donahoe building. And we are creating a plinth to match their plinth, which we have a garage entrance that comes down. So over top of it, basically, this is green. This ends up being a green area for us.
So this elevation.
They have a roof, basically.
Okay. We need to see that drawing. We need to see the existing elevation and your elevation and how that's addressing that plinth that's between your two buildings. That seems fundamental.
Yeah, I guess I would just say that that portion of the building is approved, and so certainly that was something that staff evaluated at the time of the original site plan, was the relationship between our northern facade that you're looking at there, the plinth, and then Donahoe, because that's gone through all of its approval. So
the Donahoe building where it abuts the garage, that's a is it a exercise studio right now? Is that
correct? Yeah, it's some type of
That's the pink part, actually,
right here.
Yeah, but we don't have
so it's retail
elevation
it's retail.
That faces that.
Well, I mean, basically the data is there. We didn't extract an elevation of it, but we build the elevation. I mean,
and essentially, you're all the way around.
Right. It's a simpler version of this, almost on the other side. We're not doing. We're not doing.
We are
not straight.
Yeah.
And how far are you away from the property line?
10 feet. 10 feet one.
10 feet
from the back property line to get fenestration.
And the two parcels to up the street are two stories? That's what you mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. Two stories,
yeah.
They're just that little corner piece.
Yeah, there's a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, this shoots back.
A Japanese restaurant.
Couldn't get that last piece?
I don't think that'll do it ever.
Well, I'll start off by saying that I really appreciated the kind of strict compliance with the design guidelines massing diagram that you had. I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for. Generally speaking, I'm sure my colleagues will have a lot of, you know, detailed architectural comments on the building, but generally speaking, I really like this project. I'm happy to see the extension that you're contemplating here. My company actually looked at this site years ago and found it very challenging with it being such a small site. I think the project probably works, you know, functions a lot better on a variety of levels with the extension that you're contemplating here. I think it helps the massing, you know, just seems like a better, to me personally, seems like a better scaled building. I like the fact that the Norfolk Avenue streetscape is going to be extended all the way down to the sushi restaurant here on the corner with the retail. I like that you're contemplating public art on this building wall here. I don't know if that's what the intention is, but I'm assuming that that's
yeah, it's a placeholder. So yeah. If you don't like the eagle, we can
dogs.
I didn't realize that the reason why this extension was shorter was because of the split zoning, but I actually think it works well. It makes it gives the building a little bit more
breaks
character.
It down a little bit.
As well, and you can still see the, you know, clearly articulated base, middle, and top. So, generally speaking, I'm very supportive of the project.
I think it's a very compelling resolution of the issue. And of course, it's much better as a larger building than it was as a small building. My reaction all the way through has been that the base is really working as well as any base I've seen recently work, with the combination of the coloration of it, the actual scale of it, and the setback just above the base is sort of making the whole composition, I think, very well. It worked very well. I also really, really love the idea that you integrated at that adjoining piece so that it's not just a split of two buildings, but there's a coming together, which is something that I always like to see happen in a urban design. I think the crenellation or the subtle articulation, which you already had approved, but carrying that through, I think, for this kind of building, which is not the dominant building, I mean, the Donahoe building is behind, I think as an infill building, it makes this architecturally more interesting than it would have been just a straight facade. I think that's a subtlety which is going to be very effective in reality. I also think it'd be commended that in the base, Your units are actually 10 feet deeper than they would be, and they're two-bedroom units, and I think that I'm sure you have a great solution for that, but, you know, we often get resistance on trying to get units that are 40 feet deep or whatever they are, and I think that that's good that you're willing to go that way, because that reinforces that whole base tower setback condition. So I think, you know, obviously you've got an approval for part of the building. I think extending that thematically through is excellent. I think the reduction in height, which is serendipitously the zoning, but it actually makes the building much more interesting. So I wouldn't think that you would have a great deal of issue moving forward.
I think the two bases, because you have the two-tone base, the two-story one and the four-story one, I think that resolution is not very clearly articulated. What is It's like 1 or 2 feet. I saw that on one of the drawings, 1 or 2 feet difference, how they overlap.
They overlap, yeah, but the difference is...
It's like 1 or 2 feet, right?
Yeah, but they overlap.
And so how does it end, the lower cream-colored base, how does it end relative to that... where your cursor is.
I don't know if
right there.
Right, I don't know if the other angle shows it better.
The other angle might show it.
But but everything is on the same module. So
okay, but it's proud of it. I mean,
it's proud, yes.
Proud.
Correct.
It's like a
correct.
Foot and a half.
Yeah. Correct, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that needs to be, you know, clarified, because you're going to have an edge.
Right.
You're going to have an edge of the cream-colored brick as opposed to the gray color. And what that's going to look like, I think, is important. I think the corner, I really wish the corner went all the way up with the same language. There seems to be a break.
I think that was honestly, we came back.
Yeah, it seems to be a break right
it
there.
It is a break, yes.
Yeah. And that white spandrel above it, right there,
right,
seems to disrupt the clarity of the tower element.
Right, but then
and I would make that zipper of the same language all the way up, and because your gray base comes over and overlaps, there seems to be some non-resolved elements of that, you know, the black right above your base.
Here?
Right there. Go in right there.
I mean,
that seems kind of confusing relative to
the whole party
everything
is
else.
Like two,
and so I think that zipper is a terrific idea. I just wish it were stronger and more, you know, consistent all the way.
If I may, we have two elements that intersect. Mm-hmm. One needs to be disrupted. We choose to keep the integrity of the box, which we feel is more important, rather than a subtlety of a tower. Besides, we wanted to avoid from the get-go to do a tower. It seems that is a formula that DC has embraced for very long and is used even when the building intersects an alleyway. And there are examples downtown. So we try to do a tower, to imply a tower, but not actually to be literal about it.
I guess, kind of following this discussion, I've wondered, just in looking at these drawings as you were presenting, why did you choose to use the base material on that one floor above the base?
Right.
It's not same.
Rather than the material from above sliding under that white band and coming down to the base, you know what I mean?
I think, you know, the idea is that that's a stitch floor, and it's not the same material as the brick below. That stitch floor probably have a metal, dark gray metal.
So that's what I would think.
Yeah. So it's kind of trying to act as like a void between two boxes. You're not trying to take the brick up.
The box
brick,
to float.
Yeah.
The box
and
to
actually, float. One point after the approval, I came in here when I first kind of looked at this project. Let's do a more tower element. And then we were trying to kind of stitch these two boxes. I get slapped from the staff. They say, like, most important thing is, like, make sure the base reads as a base, the buildings kind of floats, they don't touch. Mm-hmm. So my first inclination was kind of like, stitch these two elements. But I think what was important for staff was reading the base clearly.
I think that's where I'm getting at.
At the same time, though, I mean, before the design had a very unified, a piece that really unified both the top and the bottom all together. And I think what I'm hearing is some of that needs to be incorporated into this so it reads differently. This reads as almost three different parts is what I'm hearing.
No, it's two with a stitch.
Yeah. Well, two with that's three.
maybe it's the graphic.
Yeah, I think it's the graphic.
I think
the black.
But it looks so much like the base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is disruptive.
I mean, reality
it
of
seems
it goes
like
through.
The white should come all the way down. I mean, I think comes out to the corner, comes all the way down, and
sure
we don't have this black stitch.
Yeah, I mean, my point is not that this all the way around needs to be a literal extension of that, but that, maybe these panels slide behind this clear base that's sort of making that panel and it's making this panel, and your stitch is fine, but I think that there's something, rather than having it a complete break, that there's something that ties, maybe this, like these pieces into it, and then there's, that there's a simpler void there in the middle, but it's less like this one and maybe more like that one. So that there is a reading, almost like this grid is sliding under that piece.
But I think it really wants to come all the way down, personally. And
down to what?
Down to the
ground.
Same color?
White comes all the way down on that corner.
That's
just in the zipper part, just the balconies.
This part you're saying, like, This comes all the way down?
No. I'm not saying.
We're confused, Carl. We're confused.
I think he's suggesting that this would be white, this piece right here, all the way down to there.
Right, exactly.
And that this brick would read as separate, and that brick would read as separate.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe that should be a different color, actually, altogether, so not to be confused with the upper or the lower.
So I think, and then your entrance to the apartments is where?
Is right at the intersection of the two.
Okay, so that, I think, is a real opportunity to make
something special, yes.
Acknowledge the balconies above.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. I think that's a real opportunity to reinforce that aspect behind the base.
You recess these, you mirror these by recessing those bays.
Well, I'm not sure you have to recess.
Well, I mean, but not, I mean, the brick stays there, but the panels behind can be recessed so that the slot comes down.
I'm just saying that the balcony detail might reappear as a canopy for the entrance. That would emphasize that. Just a thought. I do agree that the zipper horizontal, showing it dark as it is probably a negative in terms of the clarity of the base. So I think that that whatever the color of the panels are in the tower coming through might be a good starting point. I by the way, do buy the fact that rather than adding that balcony that Carl was talking about, that you're defining the box, which I happen to believe adds clarity to your design. So I'm disagreeing on adding another balcony there personally.
First of all, I think that, as a massing model, I think this is very nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're talking about the details now.
Yeah.
But I think as a massing model, I think it's very well done. The one question I do have following again Carl's first comment about the section is, What is this?
What's exactly?
What's this piece? I get what is back here.
That's the Mexican restaurant. Two-story Mexican restaurant.
Okay, and it goes all the way back.
Well, I think you should see.
So
that.
What is the elevation of your addition look like? The back elevation of the addition. What's that look like?
It is going to be.
They just said it's essentially the same.
Well, I don't know if it's going
to be. Well, functionally it's not. It's different.
It's a solid wall. Yeah.
Solid wall with a court, with a glazing in the middle. It's probably something like
that. Yeah, you've got a corridor you're probably going to open up. But
yeah.
Well, we better see that.
That's my, the only thing that I can't really respond to right now. It would be nice to see that.
I mean, you can show it to you. The challenge is this, okay? This is like, we have not faced things like that in Maryland, almost American. We do this on DC day in, day out, because all these small pieces, we are trying to build small buildings and condos. That's why DC has at-risk windows, you build party line buildings and so forth. And we are in a situation like this that basically he's not willing to sell it. So how do you tackle that? So you're trying to make it work for the piece that we have.
Yeah.
So you're going to have solid walls. I would love to put windows, but the Maryland doesn't let you put windows.
Well, this building here, the tall building behind that we're...
That's windows.
That has windows looking at the back of your building? Okay. So that's why I just would like to see what
photograph.
They're looking at.
Go back to the photographs. Go back to the photograph. Side photograph, yeah. That's this facade. You see this facade?
Yeah,
bottom center, right?
Here, the bottom.
In fact, that's the back of that.
And there's that.
It's apparent what you're doing with the end, right? It's apparent what you're doing on the end. You're putting some sort of artist.
And we have a window strip there, too.
Yeah. So I just would like to see what's going around the corner.
Yeah.
That's all.
And the elevation.
Yeah.
Side elevation, or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, you can see it's tall building,
yeah.
And then this is the facade, basically.
And those are the two. Those are the two
odd parts
that are still there.
Yeah.
And then that's the Mexican.
This is the Mexican restaurant,
right? Okay. But can we put that in context?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
we can
do
some architecture. Just to make things easy. So, I mean, I think what Paul said was that it sounds like people like the massing. We're talking details, but we're also talking that Carl, you want to see the elevation from Auburn on the backside, and everybody certainly wants to see the elevation from, what is that, same panel? I always mix up.
Delray.
So I think we're very happy
yep.
with that.
Well, that would normally be a part of the package anyway, it's just
yeah,
not there
yeah.
yet.
We have it, and we have it in this package.
If you resubmit, it would be a sketch plan.
Well, so what we're planning on doing is submit, because we already have our approval, so we would submit sketch preliminary site plan amendments concurrently. We're aiming for mid-September submission, so that would have site plan level detail, but I think, obviously, Laura, I have to consult with you on the depth schedule, but, you know, we're certainly happy to come back, and I think earlier, sooner rather than later would be good, although I don't know that we need a full hour to come back, so maybe we can get on.
Well, that was my question. Is the intention that you would come back to us, or are we trying to satisfy it here?
Additional information. I mean, I think, you know, we're happy to come back in again.
Well, they come back to site plan anyway.
There were
well, she's saying that the next one will be site plan.
That's still come back then.
Yeah, well, that was my question.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely come back and show you the additional images and talk about the zipper vertical thing. I don't really understand.
The next review would be a one stop, it would be all of.
Right.
It would be one, so it wouldn't come at sketch and then again at site. The next would be the last.
But that should be fine.
Yes.
Right.
Based on the level of development and
yes.
our ability to come
yeah.
today.
And it should be a fairly quick
meeting,
I would imagine.
I mean, maybe
yeah.
we can do a half hour.
There's a number of landscaping issues that were raised
right.
in the memo concerning the serpentine seating.
So maybe I could just really briefly speak to that, not from a technical perspective, but that seating was approved under the prior approval, and actually this was the result of really good coordination between DPS, DOT, and Park and Planning. I think as you all on the DAP remember from like our ZOM presentation a month or two ago, DOT, DPS, and Park and Planning were all having a lot of difficulties with features in the right-of-way,
mm-hmm.
but this seating was where everybody actually kind of agreed that the serpentine
yeah.
seating was a pretty attractive and kind of unique option, especially given the fact that pedestrians are going to be coming from Battery Lane Urban Park, given the proximity to the theater across the street and trying to do something a little more artistic. So that was previously approved, and we're just proposing to maintain that.
Because that was one of the issues
right,
that was raised.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
know. I guess you got this the memo. And then she asked also the question concerning, the paving patterns, et cetera, well, obviously then must have been approved also.
Yeah, I don't think we're proposing to change any
seems
and they were going to do the paving all the way in the face of that street
they were because it just seems kind of weird to have this geometry so focused on kind of a corner that doesn't really exist.
Well, we weren't trying,
you know what I mean, in other words, you have this very strong cross and it doesn't slam into the door, it comes to the right of the door. You follow what I'm saying? It just seems, yeah. You're not right.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that
yeah, right there. See, the door's over there, and then this
yeah.
comes here. And just.
I mean, I don't know if the door is there.
Yeah, no,
exactly.
It may not be.
The retail guy is gonna put whatever
right.
they wanna put
right.
it. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So everything was driven by a 45-degree angle from the intersection.
Yeah.
And that's what sponsored these chevrons going to the right and to the left, and I'm hearing that the chevrons continue.
No, chevron would just be
just a corner in the street,
just at the corner.
And quite frankly, I think the way it's going to read is going to be a lot more subtle than probably this graphic showing. Because what we're doing is taking the standard brick,
mm-hmm.
because as you know, because of the way the bricks are fired, some are darker than others, right? So we're actually grouping the darker ones together and making the chevron pattern within the larger field. So the chevron's supposed to really just read as a more of a subtle gesture that, you know, this is a corner, it's a point of activity. But really the element I think is gonna stand out a lot more are gonna be those benches.
And it's all brick.
All brick, yes.
Yeah.
Or the standard?
Standard
brick, yeah. It just take a little bit extra time and combine the darker ones together. So I don't think it's going to be as drastic as these renderings show.
That dramatic.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I'm watching over here at Friendship Heights this incredible palette of materials on the ground plane that they're redeveloping Friendship Heights.
Yeah.
You know, that whole project. My God, they're using every single
right.
conceivable kind of paving pattern and or material known to man.
The
it's incredible.
We did that in Bethesda 20 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Not successful.
It just seems weird. She's concerned about the planter beds, and I don't know how to address that. She's worried about regarding a continuous soil panel. Appreciate the idea for healthy tree growth, but also concern the stability of the pavement.
I mean, we're using structural soil or silver cells. I mean, it's a detail that's been used throughout the county. Okay.
And Bethesda has a standard streetscape,
yep.
So you have to follow
that.
Which has
as long as they're combined with that.
Panels.
I'm not necessarily I shouldn't probably say this, but I'm a big fan of pedestrian movement along brick sidewalks, particularly in high volume areas. It seems to me that you should have concrete for the moving system and brick for the passive areas, et cetera, et cetera. But having brick as a safe material in snow and rain and stuff like that is very slippery, et cetera. So I'm concerned about that. But that's probably not your, that's not
yeah,
there.
But there's a
that's off the table. With, that's another
that's not a standard.
I know, but it's.
I mean, in Bethesda and Silver Spring, we've been working on that. We've been changing the brick so that they're more rough surfaces and that they're not as slippery. So
yeah, that's all base. I mean, this is in Georgetown. I'm not just a historian and this and the other.
I mean, all DC is concrete, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that brought your point recently, since Belden is the preferred brick throughout for both Bethesda and Silver Spring. They did change the wire cut on it because of the issue of how slippery it was.
Right.
And so it's a little bit rougher on the top to deal with that piece.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
and
that.
That's better.
It's better.
It is slippery.
Yeah.
Just one other observation.
All right.
I kept looking, and this has nothing to do with approval, but it would seem that identifying the lobby a little stronger might be a good idea for this building along Norfolk.
Well,
right now, it's kind of, with all the overhang that you've got all over the retail, the lobby itself might seem to be evident, but maybe I'm missing something.
That's what I was trying to.
I mean, it has to do with Carl's, you know, the whole.
Knowledge, that zone.
That zone. And as I said a while ago, but it probably went over everybody, was maybe the materiality of the lobby's balconies above might be a thematic that might work for the lobby. But again, that's not really in our purview, I don't believe. It's just, I would think it might help the identity of the arrival point.
Well, we'll study it. You know, we want to take all the opportunities to make these buildings as best as we can possibly do it. You know,
I mean,
that's what I believe.
When we're talking details, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
And I think the comments that I've heard today are positive from your standpoint, the transition and so. But then I'm prejudiced.
Okay.
So to summarize again, I think a few folks have summarized, but basically, generally speaking, folks think this is a good massing diagram. There were details to work out, particularly along that zone, the corner of the zipper, also the relationship of how the two bases overlap. Looking at as well, making sure that we have documentation of all the elevations, particularly the Auburn elevation, the back elevation, and also from Del Rey. And highlighting the lobby as well.
That's it.
With the major comments.
Yeah.
So we heard, the project will be looking for 10 acceptable design points, which is the minimum that any project has to reach. Do you all see any red flags reaching that? It sounds like you think generally it's going in a good direction. So you think it probably reaches those 10 points. And would you like to do a straw vote now, or would you like to wait until it actually comes in for the amendment?
I think we ought to wait.
We should
make it a
wait and make that our typical
okay
way of proceeding.
Perfect. All right, so is there anything else that you'd like to
hear? Are you guys meeting in August, or?
We're not meeting in August, but I'll have to talk to you about that. You're a little bit kind of scheduled.
Yeah. Yeah, especially too, I mean, if maybe there's an option to do like a half hour,
yes,
one, and we'll get you all the images, the additional images that you're looking for in advance as part of our submission. So that's
okay. Perfect.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.